Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Tuesday, June the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2015. The number that you can call this evening is 603-835-3224, should you wish to comment on anything that I am discussing tonight. And I wanted to start off the program with one particular issue, but we'll get to that. Now, there's some Rubio news for all you Rubio fans out there. You're not going to like this. I got some Clinton news for you. For all you Clinton fans out there, you're not going to like this. I got some climate change news for you as well. And for those of you who are against climate change, you're not going to like this. I know it's a show of of stuff that you're not going to like. And I'm going to start off with a story that you're not going to like. And it comes via InfoWars, and I redflagnews.com, and I'm not a look, folks, this is we're treading on some dangerous ground right now in this country. Now, this type of ruling that the court is issuing is would not stand in any other nation on this planet that I know of. I don't know of another country that would do this. It doesn't make us better than everybody else out there. Au contraire, mon frère. It makes us look like a bunch of patsies, idiots, wimps, simpletons, you know, that don't even care about our own country. And this is about a Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court does by affirming a rule that displaying the U.S. flag is disruptive. And I know some of you are out there saying, what? What do you talk? When did this come about, Rod? Where did this come from? Well, let me refresh your memories. Remember out in California, of course this kind of stuff happens out in California, where some students were ordered to either remove or turn their shirts inside out because the t-shirts that they were wearing had the depiction of the United States flag on it. And the problem was, well, the supposed problem was, is that they were wearing these prideful shirts on another nation's holiday, Cinco de Mayo, 5th of May, and that it would be disruptive to Mexicans in this country if, you know, well, you know what? I don't even think the Mexicans really, they don't even really get into Cinco de Mayo, not like we do. I think that's pretty interesting. We celebrate Cinco de Mayo harder than the Mexicans do, and it's a Mexican holiday. But the Supreme Court has refused to review a case concerning California school officials banning students from wearing American flag T-shirts for fear of the garments being disruptive. The Supreme Court decision was taking behind closed doors Monday. No explanation was given as to why the case of Dariano versus Morgan Hill Unified School District will not be taken further. The case stems from an incident in 2010 when students were ordered to remove U.S. flag T-shirts on the Mexican National Day, which is known here as Cinco de Mayo. Now, school officials cited concerns that such displays of patriotism in the United States would inflame racial tensions. So, yeah, this such a display of national pride in your own home country would inflame racial tensions. Now, four students were suspended and sent home, and a blanket ban was enacted, much to the chagrin of free speech proponents. Well, yeah, you think? Now, those critics now say that the Supreme Court's decision to let stand a Ninth Circuit court ruling restricting free speech in this case affirms a troubling precedent that displays of patriotism in America can be prohibited. Indeed. When public school students can't wear the American flag on a T-shirt because it might be disruptive, then free speech as we've known it is dead, said John W. Whitehead, president of rights group the Rutherford Institute, which was involved in the original district court case. So there you have it. Our own Supreme Court not willing or wanting to hear a case having to do with free speech, pretty much, and patriotism, pretty much. You can't be a patriot in this country anymore. I guess it's bad. You know what? I think I'm going to open up a store, Rod's Store, and it's all going to be patriotic designs. You know, stuff that I come up with, maybe. Just patriotic stuff that you can use. I mean, it'll be T-shirts and hats and stickers and, they're just good old-fashioned patriotic American symbolism, if you will. Because there isn't enough of it in my book. There needs to be more of it. Of course, it should probably have some sort of educational element to it. Now, I will look into that as well. But to have your Supreme Court, or any court, actually, decide that it's not, this sort of case is not worthy of their attention and just unilaterally decide, well, we're just going to say that all displays of patriotism can be disruptive and we'll just, get rid of those as we see fit. And I got to tell you, that's a dangerous precedent to be setting. Now, granted, the Supreme Court didn't really set a precedent because they didn't really rule on anything. They just decided to let whatever decision was made by whatever court to stand. And this was under the Ninth Circuit, which is a California court, or the left coast, which is full of people who don't particularly like the United States or embarrassed by the United States. And they want multiculturalism. And, they're like, well, there's a gentleman here in the Bunkerized Home Studio. And his name is Sam. And Sam doesn't particularly like that idea. So, just to bring this whole notion home, I want Sam just to say a couple words on this issue. Sam, just say a couple words, because people, they're a little upset about the notion that they don't think that their kids will be able to wear the American flag and multiculturalism and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got to tell you, Rod, I agree with them. I tell you, this stuff is getting out of hand here. And we got all these people talking all kinds of foreign languages. You know, this is America where we speak American. We fly the American flag, Rod. And let me tell you something. We're proud of that flag. And it's not a disruptive sight to see that flag anywhere it's flying. Even if it's flying across the stomachs and chests of America's children. Because they're the future of this country. And if they're not allowed to be proud of America, Rod, then we're going to lose this country. And we're never going to get it back. And I got to tell you, I have nightmares. I have American nightmares every night, Rod, when people tell me that it's a disruption to have the American flag flying, even if it's just flying across your bellies and the chest of America's children in American public schools. This is America, after all. You know, you fly the flag. What do they do, Rod, on Cinco de Mayo? Do they haul up the Mexican flag? Well, this ain't Mexico, Rod. This is America, and we fly the American flag. And I cannot believe that American children cannot have the American flag flying across their chest and their belly on their t-shirts. I mean, you got Japan. Japan's able to have a Japanese flag on their chest. Yeah, China's got a red t-shirt on all their children, and we can't even fly a flag, the simple American flag. That's not American, Rod. It's un-American. And I got to tell you, this has got to change.
Well, thank you, Sam. And I think you heard quite, I can't add anything to that. Sam has got it right. He knows what's going on, and he knows that, look, this is the most idiotic type of thing I have ever, one of the most idiotic things I've ever come across for a nation. It is to say that you cannot fly or have or display your own flag in your own country. Now, I would fully understand if these kids were in Mexico. And the Mexican government said, you cannot fly the American flag on Cinco de Mayo. Fine. That's their desire down in their country. Great. I get it. But to come across the border and to have Americans tell other Americans that you cannot display the American flag because some foreign students might be offended? Well, you know, at that particular point, I try to be a gentleman, but the good old F-bomb might have been flying that day as well for me. And I got to tell you, you people out there who still put your kids in these public indoctrination centers that we call public schools, I don't understand it. This is starting to border on, in my book, it's starting to border on child abuse. Putting your kids in American public indoctrination centers that we call public schools is bordering on child abuse. Do you really want to send your kid to some building? I don't care how pretty the building is. You want to send your kid to some building, and inside that building, he or she is being told that, displaying and showing patriotism in their own country, in their country's flag, is disruptive in their own country. And, this goes part and parcel with, and I hold a lot of adults to this as well, because, we have a lot of these closed communities, these gated communities and these condo communities that limit or restrict or prevent people from flying the flag. And shame on you. There is nothing more beautiful than to see, the small town America, Small town America is when everybody on Main Street is flying the flag on their home. That is a beautiful sight. You know, if you go into a gated community or a condo complex, that doesn't prevent people from flying the flag, or if you know it's like July 4th or Flag Day, and you see all of these flags all over the place, that is a beautiful sight. It is not disruptive. It is not ugly. It is not gangly. It is absolutely freaking gorgeous. And you know what? Any other country that you go to that does the same thing with their flag, that's a beautiful sight. To have pride in one's own nation, there is nothing wrong or disruptive about that. You know, I expect if I go to France to see the French flag all over the place. I expect it. I expect to go to Greece and see the Greek flag all over the place. I expect to go to Canada and see the Canadian flag all over the place. I expect to go to Mexico and see the Mexican flag all over the place. And there wouldn't be a person in this country who would not agree with me that even if they go to Russia or, you know, they expect to see the Russian flag. They go to China, they expect to see the Chinese flag. They go to Japan, they're going to expect to see the Japanese flag all over the place. But then you come here to the United States, and you're going to tell me that Americans are supposed to sit back and accept the fact that, oh, well, we can't display the American flag all over the place. No. I'm not going to stand for that, folks. I will not say, you know, you want to try to fine me or whatever, come get the money. You can try to get the money. You're not getting it. You know, and if I don't have little children, that are school age. But if I send my kid to school in a t-shirt with the American flag on it, I don't care if it's Flag Day or if it's Cinco de Mayo Day or if it's, you know, Christmas Day. That's the clothing I put on them. That's the clothing they're wearing. And if you even think about touching them, we're going to have a problem. Big, huge. And don't you dare try to tell me that some stupid ass judge is sitting out there in California has decided, well, you know, wearing the flag, Ron, is a disruption. A disruption to whom? The only people who seem to be making it a disruption are these stupid liberal educators who are embarrassed by their own nation's flag. And that's a shame. You know what? We should just kick their butts out of it. Don't get me fired up on this. Because I swear I'll be kicking some uneducated, overly educated ass. This does not stand in my book, and it's shame on the Supreme Court for passing on this. They should even have to hear arguments. All they have to do is just say, you know what, Ninth Circuit, you're a bunch of idiots. The school district, you're a bunch of asses. You can't do this. Free speech. Whatever happened to, well, it's free speech as long as it's not disruptive. Look, this is what I told you people before when there are people out there talking about because of what happened in Texas. Remember the Texas Muhammad cartoon contest? What happened there? And Americans, even Republicans are starting to say, well, maybe we should, you know, think about certain kinds of speech not being free speech. And this is the direction that the Supreme Court and other judges are now taking. Well, American people are kind of ready for censorship. And look what's happening already. I warned you this kind of stuff was going to happen. And it's only going to get worse because we, the people, are freaking stupid enough to fall for this. Rod, did you just call all the American people stupid? Well, yeah, if they're into any sort of any kind of censorship, you know, for a speech censorship, yeah, they're stupid. You know, people can say a lot of things and express themselves in a lot of ways that I don't like. But you know what? I'm probably going to say a lot of things that they don't like. I mean, it's an equal opportunity here. Pretty much, very equal opportunity. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to
I know I'm pissing a few people off by expressing my constitutional rights, you know, my God-given rights to express myself. Are you trying to tell me that this notion that kids they're not displaying some weird T-shirt. They're displaying the American flag. You know, it reminds me of a time. Remember when? Now I just heard the other day that the Simpsons have been on the air for 27 years. 27 years. I know some people think that the Simpsons are funny, but I got to tell you, that's a little disgusting. But you know what? If they want to continue to make episodes of The Simpsons and people want to watch The Simpsons and support it, that's fine. I don't have to watch it. But I remember when 25 years ago, The Simpsons had a T-shirt, Bart Simpson. Kids could wear it to school. You know, it touting Bart Simpson, underachiever, proud of it, number one underachiever. Did you know that at that particular time, the number one selling T-shirt was that Bart Simpson style T-shirt with underachiever on it. And the number one selling T-shirt in the nation of Japan was Japan is number one. So the number one selling T-shirt in the United States was not the USA number one. No. It was underachiever. And so now, those kids grown up and fulfilling the desires and dreams of those T-shirts, underachiever, and this is what we're getting in our schools by saying, you know, the flag displayed on a shirt is disruptive to foreign students. You know, well, if the foreign student, in my book, doesn't particularly like the display of the American flag in the United States of America, then they are more than welcome and more than free to head back to the country from whence they came. We will not hold a grudge. At least I know I won't. I will not be upset. I will say, thank you for coming. Now get the hell out. I know there are people out there who think, well, Rod, you're just anti-immigrant, Rod. You're anti-immigrant. No, I'm anti-American. How's that? So if you're anti-American, I'm anti-you. Plain and simple. There is absolutely no excuse, no reason for any of this kind of garbage. And we need to stop before. Look, this is the easy way to lose a country, folks. This is, it doesn't take much to do it. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to lose your nation. All you have to do is be embarrassed of it, have a government that is willing to cover it up and to prevent you from loving it. And there you have it. The demise of the United States of America from within, because you have a bunch of people who are embarrassed by the flag in our display of patriotism because it's so disruptive for foreigners. Get out if it's disruptive to you.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war. As they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up. With no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Rod Eccles
Show.
Rubio, an to some news for Rubio. Marco Rubio, the Republican Florida Floridian who is running for president on the GOP ticket, is hitting back, striking back. Look, you know, I'm thinking that this guy is not going to be like your typical Republican of the recent past that didn't really respond to stupid leftist, hypocritical leftist, liberal, lamestream media garbageola. Now, Rubio's campaign has hit back at the New York Times story, claiming that the Florida senator's personal financial habits have been imprudent and at times extravagant. Now, I you know, at first thought, I'm thinking, wait a minute. They're going to pick apart Marco Rubio's modest income and finances. And say sometimes his spending habits have been imprudent and extravagant. What are you going to say about the Clintons then? Let's, you know, not, I'm just saying, can't let the Clintons go, but, you know, hey, Rubio's not rich, by the way. So that's the problem with the New York Times. Well, he's not a millionaire. So how are we going to get him on the money stuff? First, New York Times attacks Marco over traffic tickets. Yeah, he got four. His wife got the bulk of them, but he got four over like 17 years or something like that, 15 years. I think I've had like over the past 15 years, maybe I haven't had moving violations. I've done, you know, no speeding tickets. No speeding. I've had things where I've forgotten to, you know, my inspection sticker in my car has expired. And literally there have been times, you know, a year that I just forgot. I wasn't even paying attention to it. And, you know, the trooper who pulled me over was very nice. And there was another time where I got a ticket for not having a sticker on it. And it was because in this state, you have, when you first register a new vehicle, whether the vehicle is new or used, you have a 10-day period in order to get that car inspected. And I was within that 10-day window, and the town officer still decided to give me a ticket anyway. And I didn't fight it. It was like a $50 or $60 ticket at the time. I'm like, you know, it's going to cost me more to go fight it than anything. And the hindsight is I probably should have fought it because it, you know, the reason why the state trooper gave me a ticket for that because I was lapsed. Because he said, well, you know, you already had one. I have to give you. And I said, oh, guess I should have fought it. And I explained it to him and where I got it. And he literally slapped his forehead and rolled his eyes. And he goes, I'm sorry. If I would have known, I wouldn't. There's an issue with that particular town anyway, I suppose. But, you know, it happens. You drive. Sometimes maybe you change lanes without signaling. It laps sometimes. That's a ticketable offense right there. You know, the way our traffic laws are written in most states that you can get a ticket for that. You know, changing lanes without signaling. In some communities, maybe the music is coming out of your car is too loud. You can get a ticket for that. You can get caught in a speed trap. By the way, there are, you know, plenty of speed traps here in the state of New Hampshire. Because in most places, you know, in New Hampshire, if there's a significant change in speed, like a significant drop, it will tell you ahead of time, there'll be signs like, you know, if you're going from a 65 to a 45, it'll say, you know, before you hit the 45 mile per hour zone, it'll tell you, you'll see signs that say, you know, speed limit 45 miles per hour up ahead. And so you can make adjustments. Well, there are some places that I know of near me that make a sneaky change. You know, in an area that if you're not familiar with it, you wouldn't expect the change to go from 45 to 30. That's a speed trap zone. You know, and towns do that all over the country. You know, because people that, you know, they get used to one thing and it looks like they're in the same area. There's no reason for it to change. And all of a sudden, boom. Oh, what? Huh? There's change? And, you know, I know people. I've been in the car and people have gotten pulled over and the cop says, you know how fast you're going? And they'll say, well, yeah, I was, you know, doing like 45 speed limit. No. And sometimes the cops are nice and sometimes they're kind of belligerent. No, the speed limit's 30. And people are like, since when and where? And, you know, it's happened more than once. So it's kind of easy in this country, especially when they're out to get speed traps. I mean, and look, Charles Barkley, I remember a few years ago, Charles Barkley was in a speed trap. And was it out in Arizona where they have cameras that catch speeders and take a picture of you and send you the ticket? No cops around in an area that people just aren't really paying attention to their speed, and boom, you know, a few days later you're getting a ticket in the mail and you're wondering, what the heck is this? And it shows that you're behind the wheel driving the car, and it says what your speed was, and it issues your fine, and all you have to do is pay it. And it was, I'm not sure if that's was actually upheld and is still legal, but it was snaring a lot of people. And it was a revenue. Look, a lot of times speeding, you know, traffic traps are revenue generating for the municipality that's setting them up. Now, make no mistake about it, to go from 45 to 30 on a roadway that is designed for actually 55, and there's no change, no reason for a change, there's only one reason for it, and that's to collect revenue. And, you know, they do it here in the Granite State. They do it all over the country. But the whole point is that Rubio here, over traffic tickets for him, and now they think he doesn't have enough money. Well, it's none of their business whether or not he has enough money, any more than they tell us, well, it's none of our business how much money that the Clintons have. Really? Well, how about how do they get the money? But Rubio spokesman Alex Conant, according to USA Today, of course, if he were worth millions, the Times would then attack him for being too rich, much like they did to Mitt Romney. Yeah, remember that when they attacked Romney for being too rich? Now the Clintons have gone basically from, you know, dead broke from the White House to being extremely wealthy. What does Bill get for a speech, single speech now? $500,000? You know, by the way, I'm out on this summer on a speaking tour. Now, I don't charge $500,000 for giving a speech. I don't charge six figures. I don't even charge five figures for a speech. Really? So, you know, if you want me to speak at your group, your event, you know, it doesn't matter the size. It could be 10 people, 100 people, or 1,000 people, or if you can, you know, if you can manage to get 50,000 people, then we'll talk. But yeah, I'll rock the house if you have 50,000 people. I will rock it. Trust me on that. We will go to political conservative church. I will rock your house if you bring me in. Just saying. There's a simple plug. And yeah, I'll even bring Sam. That's right, I'll bring Sam. Hey Sam, would you go and speak with me if I go out there? If I go out to it's some sports arena, say out in Arizona or Kentucky or someplace. Well, of course I would, Rod. It would be an honor. I'd be out there with you. I'd be speaking American, not that Spaniard stuff that some of these people around here talk. I'll talk in American. So, yeah, just, you can go to my website and get the information if you want me to actually come out and speak to your organization.
And it's a good time. Like this Thursday, I will be out in Easton, Massachusetts, giving a keynote message out there. And again, that information and time and everything is on rodeckles.net. So just go over to and check the the events page. I think it's the events page, and you can see some other booked events. Working to add more as we speak. There are some in the works, so there will be more all over the place. So we'll see. But back to Rubio. Tuesday's story by the Times headline, struggles with finances track Marco Rubio's career. It said that Rubio stands out not only for his youth and dramatic political rise, but also for persistent doubts about his personal financial management. Now, a review of Rubio's family finances, including many new documents, reveals a series of decisions over the past 15 years that experts called imprudent. You know, significant debts, a penchant to spend heavily on luxury items like the $80,000 speedboat and the lease of a $50,000 2015 Audi Q7, a strikingly low savings rate, even when Mr. Rubio was earning large sums and inattentive accounting that led to years of unpaid local government fees. Whoa. So, you know, Mr. Rubio is a bad guy for buying a speedboat and paying for it with his own money and leasing a 2015 Audi Q7. And having a low savings rate. Well, you know, he's got to pay for the speedboat and the Audi Q7. Besides, he's a senator. He doesn't got to save for retirement, right? And local, unpaid local government fees. Oh, you mean like, you know, I don't know, Tim Geithner not paying taxes, like Al Sharpton not paying taxes and owing the IRS money? Yeah, okay. I think those government fees do not add up to $4 million, like Al Sharpton. Anyone? Don't see the New York Times thumping Al Sharpton for owing as much as $4 million in back taxes. Don't see the New York Times thumping the Clintons for their spending or their need for such large sums of cash, as in $500,000 for a speech. But you know what? You can't blame Bill. If there are people out there willing to pay him $500,000, more power to him. I'd do it. You know, why not? If somebody's willing to pay me $500,000 for giving a 20 to 40 minute speech, why should I say no? Look, I don't blame them for it, but at the same time, do not sit out there and preach to us about how Mr. Rubio, you know, spends imprudently or about this rich person does that or got his money this way when you've got your own people earning questionable sums in a questionable manner. Plain and simple, you can't win this argument, New York Times. I don't know why you even tried to open. It's going to end up hurting Hillary, especially with Rubio, because he's not going to put up, you know, with this kind of stuff. Now, the Times also said that separate to his personal spending patterns, there were instances in which he intermingled personal and political money. Oh, you mean like the Clintons did? You know, this is the same thing and same tactic that they tried to pull on Mitt Romney. Remember that? This is the same thing, although with Romney it was, you know, due to much more money. But this is the same kind of garbage that the New York Times tried to pull on Romney. And Romney didn't really fire back, but the Rubio camp is firing back. Good to see. He needs to put
He needs to put them in their place. Now, this is also from Market Watch. That he spent, you know, chastising it. One luxury item it was cited for an $80,000 speedboat. I guess that's a luxury item. But, you know, if you're making 200 grand a year or more, you know, maybe $80,000 for a boat is not so imprudent. You can probably afford the payments on it. You're not spending 80 grand all at once. You're probably putting down a significant chunk, and then, you know, you're making payments over time. And you could probably, you know, over 10 or 15 years, you could probably afford those payments. You know, a lot of people probably could. It wouldn't be any difference. Now, the Times said that the issue of how Senator manages finances caused such doubt that it was flagged by Mitt Romney's presidential campaign when Rubio was vetted as a possible Romney running mate back in 2012. Now, the Times reviewed the Rubio family's finances and found decisions it said experts called imprudent. Now, Rubio's team basically responded by calling the newspaper arrogant for describing student debt as a deep financial hole of his making. First, the New York Times attacked Marco over traffic tickets, and now they think he doesn't have enough money. Of course, if he was worth millions, the Times, New York Times would then attack him for being too rich, much like they did to Mitt Romney. So said a spokesman in an email. Wall Street Democrats and some independents are getting increasingly nervous that Hillary Clinton will tack to the left in her campaign for the White House. Their fear, Politico writes, is that Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley in the race, Clinton could be pushed to take a tougher stance on financial reform issues in ways that could make their lives uncomfortable. She's not being pushed anywhere. She's not being pushed anywhere, by the way. You know, she's firmly, a radical leftist, much like Obama. Except she has more money than Obama. And that's okay. Rubio doesn't have the kind of money that the Clintons have. And that's, you know, not okay. Because what little money that he may have, you know, he should have spent it in the manner in which the New York Times thinks he should have spent it. And not buying a speedboat. Oh, that's just imprudent. Buying a speedboat. As if it's any of their business. But, you know, Clinton being in that stupid van, the Scooby van, and then to end the Scooby van tour, you know, she doesn't stay in the Scooby van. She flies first class back home to New York. But that's not imprudent. Not at all. I guess it just means that, you know, if your husband earns $500,000 per speech, then whatever you're worth a lot of money. So I guess anything you do then is not imprudent, right? I don't know. I'm just putting this stuff out there for you folks. You know, you can do with it as you please, but just remember that Rubio is not the wealthy one. He's comfortable, but I don't think he's out there, you know, running up debts that he cannot pay. That would be Democrats anyway. You know, let's face it, they're the ones who, well, Obama's, look at the deficit. You know, bills that they cannot pay. You know, they also do bills that they want everybody else to pay, not them. But here's something else, too. Tax-exempt groups give hopefuls a boost. Several presidential hopefuls are getting help from allied tax-exempt nonprofit groups that have anonymous donors. Anonymous donors, but hey, you know, the Citizens United thing, that's, you got to get rid of Citizens United because, you know, they're not anonymous. The Wall Street Journal writes, a trend that experts say could pump hundreds of millions of dollars into the 2016 race for the White House, the tax-exempt entities are already doing work on policy development and voter research, as well as hiring and deploying staff for a half dozen aligned campaigns, the journal says. The presidential hopefuls benefiting from these groups include Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Rick Santorum, and Bobby Jindal. The Bush Align group recently hired several policy and communications aides, suggesting it could become a place to build a campaign staff until Bush declares his candidacy. And senators want China out of the currency club. Well, we're not even going to get into that. China has their own agenda when it comes to currency manipulation. And the United States is not in that plan, by the way. The United States, they want the United States out of that plan. Today, just a little side note. I have no idea why I just thought of this, but I just wanted to relay something to you. Today I was told that there's a cartoon character that Samuel L. Jackson did, and now I can't remember who it was, but evidently I sound like Samuel L. Jackson doing a cartoon voice. I don't know if that was flattering or not. I don't know. Could have been, but I don't know. Could have been flattering. Speaking of finances, did you know about Hillary having a nice and wonderful fundraiser? I love how these people all take on these fundraiser stuff, and they say how, you know, that the, you know, Clinton wants to be the champion, if you will, for the American people, the average American person, I guess. And you have to ask, well, what does that mean exactly for the average person? Well, you know, she wants to be a champion for the average person. So that means that she's got to pay attention to what the average person. In Washington, D.C., and LGBT fundraiser put on by a bunch of lesbians, and Hillary, you know, she was in Washington for the fundraiser, and it was attended predominantly by lesbian supporters. Now, when you hear how much they paid per plate, you're going to ask, well, how is that an average person's, you know, champion? I got to say, it's not.